Okay, I want you to just close your eyes for a second and imagine it's 2026. You're looking at a B2B SaaS marketing team. They've got all the tools, the AI subscriptions, the budget, everything. But if you look a little closer, you realize they are just absolutely drowning. And they aren't losing because they lack creative ideas. They're losing because they aren't being boring enough.
It sounds completely backward, doesn't it? I mean, we're all trained to think the winner is the loudest, the most viral one in the room.
Exactly. But here's the reality check from the source material we're digging into today. In this landscape, a week of shipping can turn into a month of reviews. Those quick updates you push, they break your URLs.
And the traffic. The traffic is there, but it doesn't actually map to pipeline, right?
Not at all. It's vanity metrics all the way down.
Yeah, it's the classic trap. So much effort, so little traction. You're spinning the wheels, smoke is coming out, but the car isn't actually moving forward.
So today, we are going to fix the car. Welcome to the Content Ship Podcast. This is a show about how content actually works today, not how it used to work. We talk about search, AI systems, and the operational side of producing content that survives change.
And just to set the stage, this podcast is created by people who care deeply about their craft, working intentionally with AI. We don't see it as a way to replace human judgment, but to extend it. That mindset is exactly why we built ContentShip, to give a single expert inside a company the kind of leverage that used to require a whole team.
Leverage is the key word there. And stick with us because by the end of this deep dive, you're going to get why boring scales, how to use this mental model called engine fuel and oil, and we'll even break down a specific internal linking pattern that can act as a shortcut to authority.
It's a really powerful framework.
So let's jump right in. This mental model. The source material argues that if you're a small team, maybe 1 to 3 people, the answer isn't just more hustle, it's a system. They call it engine fuel and oil. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. It's basically a metaphor to keep you sane when everything feels like a priority.
Right.
So think of your SEO program like a car. The website itself,
Yeah,
your
I know.
technical foundation, that's the engine.
Okay.
If that engine is broken, it doesn't matter how much gas you put in it, you're just not going anywhere.
So technical health is the engine. What about the rest?
The content, the blog posts, the landing pages, everything you publish, that's the fuel. You have to keep putting it in to move forward.
Right.
And finally, the links, specifically your internal links, are the oil.
The oil that keeps all the parts moving so the engine doesn't seize up.
Exactly. It distributes authority and it helps people and Google navigate your site. And the argument here is that you need to run through 5 stages almost every week. Set up the engine, ideate, create, publish, and monitor. It's not about one massive audit once a year. It's about, weekly maintenance.
I like that rhythm. But before we even turn the key on this engine, the source mentions this huge sanity check, something called product channel fit. Why is that the starting line?
This is, I think, where a lot of teams waste their entire first quarter. Before you even open a keyword tool, you have to ask yourself a really honest question. Do people actually search for this? SEO works best when buyers are actively looking for a problem, like how to do X, or maybe a category like X software.
Right. But isn't part of marketing supposed to be creating demand?
For some channels, yes, absolutely. But SEO is primarily a harvesting channel. If you're launching something totally new, a behavior the market doesn't even have a name for yet, SEO probably isn't your main engine. It's more of a supporting channel.
So if I'm selling, I don't know, a teleportation device, and literally nobody is searching for teleportation device prices.
SEO is not going to save you, precisely. The channel itself is the mismatch, not your execution. You'd need something else first to get people to even realize teleportation is an option.
Makes sense.
But assuming you have that fit, then you need to look at your engine.
Which is the technical SEO? Now, usually when I hear technical SEO, my mind goes to developers and these super complex audits. But the source seems to say for most SaaS sites, we're overthinking it.
We absolutely are. I mean, unless you're a massive e-commerce site, you don't need dramatic technical SEO. You just need clean fundamentals. The source actually lists 4 main things. If you only do 4 things this quarter, do these.
Okay, let's go through them. First up, sitemaps.
Yeah, and it's not magic. It's just a hint to Google about what you want indexed. If a page isn't in your sitemap, you're making Google work harder to find it.
Simple enough. Second is canonicals. This one always seems to trip people up. Why is it so important?
Think of canonicals as the simplest guardrail against competing with yourself. Say you have 3 URLs that look almost the same, maybe because of some tracking parameters.
Right, from an ad campaign or something.
Exactly. Google needs to know which one is the master copy, A canonical tag just points and says, count this one, ignore the others.
So you're not splitting your authority.
Yeah.
Okay. Third is structured data.
This just reduces ambiguity.
Right.
Using schema markup like telling Google, hey, this page is an article, or this is our organization, it helps the search engine understand the context. It's like putting a label on a jar so the robot knows what's inside.
Not a silver bullet, but it helps.
It helps. And the fourth one is redirects. And I love the quote here. Treat 301s as surgery, not a hobby.
That's a good one.
It's a great line. Redirects are for when a URL has to change. You shouldn't be changing URLs just because you came up with a slightly better headline. It's surgery. You do it only when necessary, and you monitor the patient afterwards.
Okay, so that's the engine. Just clean fundamentals. Now let's talk about the fuel, the content. The source makes a pretty bold claim that most content fails because it doesn't match the user's awareness level.
This is huge, and you see it all the time. A company will write a generic "What is X?" post for a user who is already way past that and is actually searching for best X template.
They're explaining the concept when the user is already trying to solve the problem.
Right. So the source breaks it down into three levels. First is problem aware. This is where you help someone just name the issue. It earns trust. Like, why is my team always missing deadlines?
So they know something is wrong, but they don't have the language for it yet.
Exactly. Then you have solution aware. Now they're comparing approaches, agile versus waterfall or project management templates. They know the name of the solution, but not which one is right for them.
And the final level.
Product aware. This is where they're actually evaluating vendors. These are your feature pages, your us versus them comparison pages. The mistake so many teams make is just mixing these up. They try to sell the product in a problem aware post, and it just falls flat.
That makes a ton of sense. And it connects directly to what the source calls the planning loop. It says keyword research should be the last step, not the first. That feels so counterintuitive for SEO.
It does feel backward, doesn't it?
Okay.
But if you start with keywords, you just end up with this disjointed list of high-volume terms that don't actually serve your business. You end up chasing traffic, not customers.
So what's the loop?
The loop is audience right arrow topics, right arrow keywords.
Can you walk us through that example they gave, the marketing manager with a reporting burden?
Sure. So instead of targeting marketers as this huge, broad group, we get specific. We want a marketing manager who's drowning in spreadsheets and needs to prove ROI. That's our audience.
Got it. A specific pain.
And the topics that naturally flow from that person's struggle are things like editorial workflows, content governance, maybe prioritization frameworks.
And then the keywords come from that.
Exactly. The keywords just fall out of the topics. You might target content optimization tool, because that person is looking for a way to ship better content faster. So keyword research becomes the validation step, not the idea step.
That is so much more logical. It ensures the intent actually matches a business case.
And it respects your team's real capacity. The source has a strict rule. If you can't ship 4 solid pieces a month, don't build a plan for 12. Plan for the team you actually have.
Speaking of shipping, we have to talk about the create phase, especially in the age of AI. The source says AI changed the volume game, not the credibility game.
That's the key distinction right there. AI lets you produce infinite words. You can flood the zone. But Google, and more importantly, your readers, they don't care about volume. They care about credibility and usefulness.
So what's Google's stance on this?
It's pretty clear. AI itself isn't disallowed, but scaled low-value pages are a huge risk.
So what's the lean workflow then? How does a small team use AI correctly without just generating spam?
It starts with confirming intent. Before you write a single word, you scan the search results page. If the top 10 results are all checklists,
don't write a narrative essay.
Don't write an essay. You lose.
Yeah.
You have to match the format Google's already rewarding. Then you outline. Every single section needs to have a clear promise. If it doesn't move the reader forward, just cut it.
No throat clearing, as they call it.
None. Then you draft for clarity first. And finally, you optimize. And this is where tools like ContentShip come in. You use them as a checklist or a scorer, not as a source of truth.
So it helps you spot missing subtopics, but it shouldn't be forcing you to write awkward robot sentences just to get a higher score.
Precisely. It's an exoskeleton, not a replacement for your brain.
I want to pause here for just a second. We've covered the engine and the fuel. And if you're listening and thinking, okay, this model makes sense, that's great. If you want to turn this strategy into a repeatable system, you can follow or subscribe wherever you're listening. It's really about building that system. Okay, back to the workflow. We've drafted the content. Now we hit publish. And the source says, this is where good drafts die.
They die from 1,000 tiny cuts. You spend 10 hours writing and 10 minutes publishing, and you miss the absolute basics. That's why The Source provides a no-regret checklist.
Let's run through it. H1.
Keep it tight. Under 60 characters, so it's readable and doesn't get cut off in the search results.
Meta description.
Sell the benefit. It's your ad copy in the SRP. It has to convince a human to actually click.
What about the slug, the URL?
Keep it clean. Match the query. Don't let your CMS turn a long headline into a 50-word URL. It just looks messy and untrustworthy.
Images.
Compressed with descriptive alt text. It's for accessibility first, but it also gives search engines more context.
And then the crucial one, which brings us to the oil of our model. Internal links.
This is the most overlooked step. The checklist says every new post needs to link to one product page and two relevant supporting posts, period.
This brings us to the oil. The Source calls internal links the fastest win because, unlike backlinks, you control them completely.
100%. And the strategy here is very specific. It's not just sprinkling links around randomly. It's a pattern.
Walk us through that pattern again. It seems so simple, but I feel like the discipline is where people fall down.
It is all about discipline.
Yeah.
So you publish a new article. Immediately within that new article, you link to one conversion page, like a feature page, and two other educational posts on a related topic.
Okay, so you're tying the new content into the ecosystem right away.
But here is the part everyone forgets, the update loop. Within 2 weeks, you have to go back to two older posts on your site and link them to the new one you just published.
Ah, so you're weaving the new post into the existing fabric of the site. It's not just an orphan sitting out there on its own.
Exactly. This is how you build topical authority. It sends a strong signal to Google that says, hey, look, we have a whole cluster of content about this topic. It's so much more effective than just hoping someone else links to you.
It sounds like this is how small teams can build authority without those heroic backlink efforts, you know, emailing hundreds of people begging for a link.
Backlinks still matter for really competitive terms, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But for a small team, this internal linking strategy is the highest leverage move you can make. It's the oil. If you don't do the update loop, your new content is just sitting there isolated.
Okay, so we have the engine, the fuel, and the oil. The car is finally running. How do we know if we're actually getting anywhere? This brings us to monitoring.
And this is the danger zone for a lot of content marketers. If you only report on traffic, you're going to lose support from leadership the second the traffic dips or plateaus.
Because traffic can be a vanity metric.
It absolutely can be.
Yeah.
You need to look at leading indicators. So in the first 90 days, look at your Search Console impressions. Is Google even testing your page in the results? Look at your average position. Are you moving up from page 5 to page 2?
Those show momentum before the traffic really starts to flow in.
Right. And then you look at assisted conversions. Did this blog post play a part in a journey that eventually ended in a demo request? It might not get the final click, but if it assisted, it has real value.
The Source also mentions a refresh cadence.
It is huge.
Yeah.
Most SaaS blogs have this long tail of posts that are almost good, but they're a little outdated. Updating two of those older posts is often a much better use of your time than writing two brand new ones.
It goes right back to that boring scales idea. Maintenance is sometimes more profitable than new construction.
Absolutely. The Source suggests a simple weekly rhythm. 1 hour on technical checks, 2 hours on planning, one draft in progress, and one post either published or updated. That's a sustainable loop.
It really is. So let's try to bring this all together. What does this really mean for someone listening right now?
I think it means that in 2026, success isn't about a pile of random tactics. It's not about finding one secret hack. It's about having a tight, repeatable loop. A small team can absolutely ship fewer pieces than a giant company.
Right.
But if those pieces are technically clean, so the engine works. If they're matched to user awareness, which is the fuel, and if you're disciplined with your linking, the oil, they will rank longer and convert better.
It's about being intentional instead of just being busy.
And consistent. The goal is to build a workflow where your Mondays aren't spent in a meeting arguing about what to write. You just execute a plan that fits the team you actually have.
I love that. Fits the team you actually have. That is such a liberating thought for so many people who are probably drowning in some crazy ambitious content calendar.
It really is. Mm. And when you think about it, consistency is the only thing that truly compounds. One viral hit doesn't build a business. A boring, repeatable engine does.
That is a fantastic place to wrap up this deep dive. We've unpacked the engine, the fuel, and the oil. We've looked at why being boring is what actually scales and why those sexy hacks so often fail.
And just remember, This is a system you can run every single week. It doesn't have to be this overwhelming once-a-year project.
If you want to turn this strategy into a repeatable engine for your own company, you can visit www.contentship.io to see how we help score ideas and govern workflows. Thanks so much for listening to this deep dive.
Thanks, everyone.